There are brochures in the back if you're interested in knowing more about it. July, I think it's 9th through the 13th up at Hale Koa. We're really excited about this year. It's going to be the best ever. A lot of really exciting things we have planned for the teenagers and for those that want to help out as well. So make sure that you get that brochure in the back if you're interested in being a part of camp. Mother's Day has become a holiday that's interesting. There are people today that say that we really probably maybe shouldn't even be celebrating it, and even in churches. And honestly, I can kind of sympathize with the argument, because there are some people who can't be mothers. And so when they come to church on Mother's Day, there's sorrow. It's a reminder that they're not a mom, and they can't be a mom for whatever reason, when there's circumstances that are outside of their control, and you know, there's difficulty there, there's pain there, there's sorrow there. And one of the things that I don't want to have at church is folks that come and are reminded of all of their sorrow. I want church to be a place where you can come and experience the grace of God and the love of God and the Word of God in a powerful way that'll change us. And so I can see that, I can be sympathetic with the argument, like, just for a second, that it, for many that were here that might not be able to have children, it's like, forget the cookies. I want a baby. And they can't. And I've been there before as a parent, when you want to have a child and God, for whatever reason, says no. And then there are those that have had children, and possibly their children have passed away, or their mom has passed away. Again, there's sorrow. It's just a reminder of sorrow. And so there are some who have said, you know what, we're just going to kind of let families celebrate Mother's Day as a family. Maybe not bring up the sorrow of that in church. And again, I was at the place where I was like, you know, I can see that argument. I can see how that's a point, because, again, you don't want to say, well, tough luck. You're not a mom, you know? And it's hurt. A lot of hurt and pain there. But at the same time, I think it's important to remember the words of the Bible when it says, honor mothers. And I think that's important, to honor mothers and the role they play in God's purpose for family, and God's design for family, and the sacrifices that they make. Because as we know, it's not easy being a mom. That's tough. It's a lot of work. And it never ends. Even if you release your children into the world, you're still their mom. And you still care and you love for them. And the things that they go through, you bear their burdens as well. And so I think it's important today to honor moms. And we will do that. In fact, in an article titled, "There's No Longer Any Such Thing as a Typical Family," Time magazine went so far as to suggest that pretty much everyone agrees that the era of the nuclear family, with a dad who went to work and a mom who stays home, has declined to a point of no return. Our culture has gotten to the point where actually being a stay-at-home mom is actually shunned. It's a bad thing if you're a stay-at-home mom. You should contribute, right? You should help out. And there's that pressure in our society for that. Even among Christian families, parents often fail to invest in training their children in the application of God's word in their daily lives. We're not being a parent as God wants us to be. Our job as parents, we talked about this a little bit in the growth group, is to labor until Christ is formed in our children. That's really, for me, the goal of parenthood. And there's a lot of different goals of parenthood. I understand that. To keep them alive, that's one goal. You know, but if that's your only goal, you may want to step it up a little bit. Others have the goal of, well, you know what, if I can just help them be a successful person and not be a drain on society, then that's the goal. And again, that's a good goal, and I think we should strive for that. But if that's it, we may want to step up our game a little bit. The goal for a Christian parent, in addition to keeping your kid alive, is to make sure that they are equipped to be able to demonstrate Christ to those around them. Again, not in a fake and phony and put-on way, but in true, genuine Christ-likeness. That's the goal of every parent. And that takes work. That's hard because, first of all, we have to demonstrate Christ-likeness. You can't just say to your kids, hey, you kids be like Christ and I'm going to live in the flesh, right? Because that doesn't work either. You'll actually have children that will grow up resenting the faith and resenting you for not demonstrating true Christ-likeness. And we don't want that as either. Truthfully, it's hard. We cannot have Christ be formed in our children if we're going to spend limited time with them. And as we spend limited time with them, as a result, today as in churches we're seeing many young adults, as high as 70%, leave the faith when they turn 18. 70%. Why? Because Christ has not been formed in them. And we get busy with stuff. We get busy doing this and that. We don't have the time to invest and train and model Christ-likeness, so that when they grow older, they have no need for it or want for it. Too often, a Christian heritage is not passed down from one generation to the next. But there's, and the question we have to ask ourselves as well is, that it? Is there nothing to be done? Do we just give up and say, well, it's not going to work? No. We don't give up. There's absolutely hope. We can make this work. But it takes work. It takes diligence. It takes effort. It takes planning to make sure that we do what we can to disciple, to train our children to be like Christ. We as parents, as moms, dads, and I'm going to address both mom and dads this morning if you're okay, even though we're going to honor moms. We've been entrusted by God to care for our children. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible commands us to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's two phases to child raising: nurture and admonition. You can't have nurture without admonition. You can't have admonition without nurture. You need both. Specifically, God has given us His Word to guide us, and then He's given us His grace to enable us. It doesn't make the job easy and doesn't happen on autopilot. We have to work. Parenting requires work. So today we honored mothers. We want to say thank you to moms. But we also want to challenge parents and moms to, hey, this fight is worth it. We got to work hard at this. We got to make sure that this is our attention. Give attention to make sure that putting Christ in our children and not have them demonstrate Christ is a high priority. Because first of all, this morning, children are a gift from God. If you're a mom or a parent, you know with absolute conviction that you would do anything for your child. I would. If my child was in trouble, I'd rescue them. What parent wouldn't? I mean, it's in our hearts. It's our desire to see them. We are their guardians. We watch out for them. We make sure that they're safe, they're protected, that they have what they need. We're their guardians. But truly, children are the heritage of the Lord. In Psalm 127 and verse 3, the Bible says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Children, a child is a privilege and a responsibility wrapped into a single, unique person. A person whom God has entrusted to you to raise. And that's sobering. That's difficult to comprehend. Man, I am responsible to raise this child that God has given to me, but in reality, it's not my child. They don't belong to me. They're not mine to hoard or even neglect. They belong to God. They're His heritage. They're His trust. And He has a purpose for their lives. Children truly are the possession of the Lord. There's verse 3 in our text this morning says that children are an heritage of the Lord. That means they're His possession. As parents, we're stewards of the responsibility to raise our children for Him. They're His. We all dream for our kids. Moms dream for their kids. Dads dream for their kids. We have things that we want them to be. And again, we want them to be successful. We want them to go beyond what we did and be better than we were and to make something of themselves. And we're proud of them every step of the way. But God has dreams for your children too. And we need to remember that. God has a design, God has a vision, God has a plan for your child that may not involve everything that you dream for them. And may involve something much more. One of the most tender expressions of this truth in the Bible is when God revealed to Jeremiah his life's calling. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, the Bible says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." See, even before Jeremiah was born, God had big plans for his life. And for your children as well, God has plans for their life. God has things that He wants them to do for Him. And it's our job to help them do it. To equip them, to train them, to help them do what God wants for them to do with their life. We've all seen those parents who get involved in their children's life and they live vicariously through their children. The worst is these beauty pageants that they have with these kids that are like tiny, tiny little kids. And they're all in full-on makeup and hairs and curlers and their moms. You can see their moms back there just pushing them. Like, what kid wants to do this with their life? Like, for real, like, please, put the makeup on. You know, I want to spend 4 hours curling my hair. This is what I want to do with my life. No, this is a parent pushing this on their children. And it's honestly borderline abusive. And that's their dream for their child. And if we're not careful as parents, we do the same thing. Maybe not to that scale, but we push them in certain areas and we guide them in certain things that we want them to be for their life. And again, I'm not saying we don't train. We do. We equip them. We help them. We push them. We train them. But be careful not to do it for what you want for their life. Make sure that we open the door for what God wants for their life. This is important. It's important that we recognize that God has a plan for them. They're His possession. Your child has a special purpose stamped on their soul. And they're only on loan to you from God to raise for that purpose. It's much bigger than just making sure that your children have worldly success. You have to steward these gifts of God, bringing them up for the Lord and in the ways of the Lord. It doesn't mean that every kid's going to be a preacher or a missionary. That's not God's plan for them. God's plan is not for every single human being to be a preacher or a missionary. God may have a distinct plan. He may want them to be a successful businessman. That's true. He may want them to be involved in their government in some way. I don't know what He has for their lives, but we have to be open to the idea that whatever He wants, we'll help with. We'll get that done. So children are God's heritage, and then parents, moms and dads, are guardians of the child. We often use that word parent or guardian interchangeably, right? If you sign your kids up for going to camp or if you sign your kid up for a sports league, oftentimes you have to sign a waiver, you know? If we kill your child, don't sue us. Basically, that's what it is, basically. Our bad, you know? It's really, I mean, read it. And it, on there it says parent or guardian. Parents are guardians. We're the guardians of the life of the child. We're to protect the child. And don't worry, we'll protect the child at camp. I'm just kidding. But again, read the document. What it says is what it says. But we're guardians of the child. We make sure we protect them. We watch over them. And Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. So as we are guardians of God's heritage, we need to make sure that we seek his protection as well. That by ourselves, we're not capable of the task. We need his intervention. We need his help. But we are guardians of the child. We have to... Sometimes in life, storms are going to come. We know that. Winds are going to blow. There's unexpected temptations. There's disappointments. There's marital strains. There's teen rebellion. There's health crises. There's all these things that happen. All kinds of trouble come. And oftentimes they surprise us, they confuse us, and they overwhelm us. Sometimes the winds are driven by a hostile culture that we want to be a part of, but it also wants a part of us. Sometimes by the stresses of life in general, sometimes by the devil himself. But we have resources. And we have to utilize those resources. We have to build a home with a foundation that's storm-proof. One of the things, looking at Hanalei, first idea is don't build on sand. All right? See these houses right by the beach? They're all crumbling, collapsing. They're on sand. Build on bedrock. And the bedrock is Jesus Christ. The bedrock is his word. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he should be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Two choices. You hear God's word and you do it, or you hear God's word and you don't do it. And based upon your answer to those two choices, you either build upon the bedrock, that is Jesus Christ, or you will build your house upon sand. That's an amazing, to me, I love this parable. It's a wonderful parable. We sing the song, the wise man built his house upon the rock, right? We sing that song. It's a great song, but it's in the direct correlation to whether we're going to do God's word or not. So as a mom, as a dad, when it comes to instructing your children as a parent, you first of all must say, hey, I'm going to build my home on the bedrock that is Jesus Christ. Because yes, the culture is coming. Yes, the devil is coming. Yes, the world is coming for my kids, but I want them to last for Jesus Christ. I want them to serve God. I want them to live for the purpose that is their life. And so I must determine by God's grace to build my life on his word. I'm going to be not just a hearer of the word, but I'm going to be a doer as well. And this man, the Bible says, shall be blessed in his deed. I want to be blessed. I want my home to be blessed. I want my children to be blessed as they serve and they live for God. So be a doer of the word. And in this day, we need Christians who are not compromised by the winds of the world and by that get blown about by what other people are doing. We need Christians who say, listen, I'm going to stand on the word of God. Be that parent. Be that mom. Be that dad that says, yeah, others may be doing this. And some may even call themselves Christians. And it seems popular. It seems like everybody's doing it. But when the winds blow, when the rain falls, when the floods come, it'll fall. Theirs will fall. Yours will fall. If it's not built on Christ. Don't just come to church and hear the words. That's half the battle. Leave a doer. Get in your Bible and read it. Be a student of the Word of God. So we need to have the foundation that is His Word, the foundation of scriptural truth. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, the Bible says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Do we talk about the word of God and how we're going to obey it to our children? By the way, kids are not dumb. They're very, very smart. And they know how to use your words and even his words against you. And as a parent, you got to be humble enough to say, you know what, you're right. You're right. God does say that. We need to do that. Can't be arrogant. Oh, now you listen to me, kid. No, you're right. They'll learn the word of God. You send them to Sunday school. You send them to Patch Club. You send them to these things, they're going to learn it. They're going to hold you accountable to it. So be held accountable. Be humble about it. And build your foundation on the word of God. There's another foundation that we need quickly. That's the foundation of loving acceptance. Your child needs to know that they are loved. Not for what they do, but for who they are. This is, be careful about this, parents, because you're going to have, my son plays soccer, and one of my good friends, his kids play soccer as well. He has two kids, and he was saying to me, he's like, and it was funny, we were laughing, he's like, yeah, the youngest one, man, they're a mess. Like, I hope they're smart, because, like, sports-wise, not happening. It's like, yeah, I can tell. It's kind of bad. But no, the reality is, if we're not careful, then we'll have one kid who's really good at a certain sport and one kid that's not so good, and we'll really heap praise on the one that's really good, and the one that's not so good wonders whether or not they're accepted. Don't accept your child based upon what they do, but who they are. They're your kid. Love them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children." There should be a gentleness that permeates your home and your relationships with your children. Make sure that we're doing that. We're making sure we have verbal affirmations that we love our kids. Don't be like the guy who, when he got married, said, told his wife, "I love you when we got married, and if anything changes, I'll let you know." Right? Not smart. Give verbal affirmations constantly of your love, and demonstrate your love, demonstrate your care, be there for them, comfort them, nurture them, help them, know that they're accepted. The reality here is, this is where it gets difficult. We were talking in our growth group about what we learned from our mom, from our parents, and amazing things, learning different things about how to demonstrate Christ-likeness, how to help other people in need. We, oftentimes we learn that from our mom and from our parents. But there's also a negative side to that, isn't there, of what we learn from our parents. Sometimes we can learn abuse. Sometimes we can learn anger from our parents because they demonstrated that to us. They maybe demonstrated not having loving acceptance. Maybe everything that you did was based on your performance, and it wasn't good enough. And they beat you down. And the struggle for that person is having that stop with them and letting Christ change them in their heart by his word, so that what they demonstrate to their children is loving acceptance. Yeah, maybe you had a situation where you came from, and my heart breaks for that situation. But make sure that you don't pass that on to your children. Make sure that you love them. Give it to your children. Even if you didn't come from a loving affirmation in your home, you have it from your Heavenly Father. And that's important, who constantly affirms his love for us in his word. And as we receive his word, we are then capable of passing it on to his children. Children need loving acceptance, not as an accessory, but as a foundation of the home. And then, moms, dads, they need time. They need time. Listen to this statistic. The average parent spends less than 36 minutes a day with their children. I'll say it again. The average parent spends less than 36 minutes a day with their children. This includes television time. Crazy. Because we get them up in the morning, get them out the door to the bus, we're off at work, they come home, they're doing their thing, we're doing our thing, everybody's tired, get to bed, and this repeats, the cycle repeats. 36 minutes. Barely a half an hour. Just over a half an hour a day. We all have time demands. There's not enough time in the day. The Bible speaks in the last days, the days will be shortened. Some people believe that they mean the actual hours of the day. Actually mean that the actual days, the number of days will be shortened. But anyway, I feel like the number of hours have been shortened. It feels that way. It feels like, man, 24 hours is not 24 hours. They go by quicker. You just can't get everything done. I feel that. We feel that. Everybody feels that. My reminder list on my phone is getting longer and longer and longer. The to-do list, longer and longer and longer. There's not enough time. So what oftentimes gets pushed aside is our kids. But love is spelled T-I-M-E, time. You have to make time for your kids. God commands us as parents to nurture our children. That takes time. Oftentimes, our children are provoked to anger. There's a lot of things that make children angry. One of them is a parent who's a hypocrite. If you want to make your kid angry, the fastest way to do that is say something to the effect of, do as I say, not as I do. You'll make your kid angry. But another way to make your child angry is to not spend time with them. Neglect them. They'll get angry. Spend time. I don't have time. You have to spend it. You have to create it. The Bible says redeeming the time, right? You have to find a way to get time. You have to make it work. There's no doubt that children need discipline. They need strong authority. But without nurture, without time, discipline will produce anger and discouragement. Rules without a relationship breeds rebellion. Happens every time. If you're going to come down cracking hard on your kid, but you're not going to spend time with a relationship and time with them, nurturing them, you're going to breed rebellion. So moms, dads, spend time with your kids. Find things to do. Go camping. Go fishing. Do something. Go clean up a beach. It's fun to do something. Do something productive together. Wash the car together. Do work together. Involve them in work. Whatever you got to do, find time to spend time with your kids. You know, here, son, this is how the lawnmower works. Yes. Sit back and watch it. Again, that'll make your kid angry if you sit back, sip the lemonade, and watch your kid mow the lawn. But get involved with them. Help them. When they're teens, you want more than anything for them to open up and talk to you, but they may not know how. They may not know you. Your children are a gift from God. Make time for them. You're their guardians. Make time for them. Have a family dinner. Ask about their day. Ask another question about their day. Maybe you knew something they were going to do that day. Find out about how it went. Talk to them about the pressures they're facing. Talk to them about the people being mean to them. Talk about the people being nice to them. Talk to them. Spend time with them. Go fishing, clean out the garage together. Do something together. Work on a project. Interact. So children are God's. We're their guardians. And now I want to see the guide of the children. So in Psalm 127, the Bible tells us that we are guardians of God's of his heritage. They're his. But then he talks about an archer who carefully crafts his arrows and then releases them into the enemy lines. Verses 4 and 5, here's what it says. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Interesting. Archers in the Bible, they handcrafted their arrows with care and precision. If it was crooked, they threw it away. It had to be straight. The weight, the balance, the straightforwardness of the arrow would determine how accurate and how effective it was in battle. As parents, we need to give attention to the upbringing of our children. We're to shape their hearts and their lives and their consciences carefully and biblically. They require shaping. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give unto you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Unfortunately for Solomon, though the wisest man in the world, the instruction he gave his children was not consistent with the example that he left them. He didn't even keep his own advice. And that was his downfall. So are you intentionally and biblically shaping your children? Are you helping them develop hearts for God and the foundation in his truth? Are you investing time in them and nurturing them and bringing them an admonition of their lives? Are you providing godly authority in ways of boundaries? They need guiding. They need direction. When an archer draws back his string, he always directs the arrow toward a target. Today, we see a lot of kids who are directionless. They have no direction. They're aimless. What are you doing?
I don't know.
What are you? Let's go ahead. I'm going to go to the mall and hang out. All right, cool. All right. Where are you at? I mean, what are you after? Where are you pointed in life? What are you doing? I'm just a teenager. So? Right? Why is that something? Like, because teenagers become adults, and then we have adults who are direction aimless, right? Where are we pointing them? What is the goal for where are we sending them? What's the direction? To be like Christ? To demonstrate his Christ-ness so that they talk to the enemies in the gate? See, look at that phrase. Their kids are talking to the enemies in the gates. They're demonstrating Christ-likeness. They're being a witness, I could imagine. Our children need a godly parent, moms and dads, with a vision for their success to give them direction, to point their hearts first to Jesus and then to a life lived for him. When we give direction to our children, we are training tomorrow's leaders to live for God in every area of life, wherever you live. In business, in hospitality, tourism, the hospital, mechanical, whatever it is. Clerical, in the clergy. Whatever it is, point them to Jesus. And Jesus will shape them. Jesus will point them where he wants them. But make sure that we're guardians of God's heritage. And for the moms that are here today, we honor you. Moms are the guardians of God's heritage. They're not ours, they're his. And our job is not to change who God made our children to be, but to shape them and direct their lives towards the purposes for which God has made them. That's our goal. We're to provide protection that nurtures and develops them so that when the time comes they leave our homes, they have a solid foundation in the right direction. So if you have kids in the home, value this time. Value it. Take the time. Don't get too busy because life will pass you by. Take the time. Make some memories and mentor your kids. Steward it wisely. Pour yourself into that young life that God has entrusted to your care by providing protection and direction. And before you know it, you'll be releasing them for big things for God, big targets for God. So value the few years that you have. Make the most of it. Moms, make the most of it. Dads, make the most of it. Get in God's word. Read it and live it. Build your foundation on his word, his purposes. They're His. We're guardians of them, and we're to guide them. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You today. We thank You for this time. Lord, I thank You for Your word. It's powerful. It's a help. Lord, I thank You for the moms that are here today. I thank You for the sacrifices that they make. It's incredible, God, what they do for their kids. And for some, even their grandkids. And God, I pray that You bless them on this day. Help them to feel honored. But God, I pray that You help all of us that have children, and for those that don't have children, to help those that do, to encourage, to strengthen, to equip, to come alongside, to be a blessing. But help us to realize that the children that we have are not ours, they're Yours. And we're guardians of Your heritage. And God, help us realize that we're also the guide that points them in the direction they should go, by example, by instruction. And help us to raise some people for You. I want to ask this question with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you'd give me the time here, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I don't know for sure that if I was to die right now, that Jesus would save me from my sins. I know I'm a sinner. The Bible says there's a price for my sin. The wages for sin is death and hell for all eternity. But I don't know for sure that Jesus would save me from my sins if I were to die right now. If you're not sure about that, I'd like to pray for you. And what I'd like you to do with every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody's looking around, if you'd raise your hand, I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Is there anybody like that here today? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. Would you raise your hand? Then as a church, would we be determined to help each other in discipleship, both of children and adults, to point everybody towards Christ, to live the life of Christ, to be like Christ in our world, to make a difference like Christ did? And God, again, I pray that You bless our church. I pray that You bless this invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go to hymn 161. We're going to sing Softly and Tenderly. The song is Softly and Tenderly. You can leave.